everyone. This is Mackenzie Jose. I'm the worship director at Fairhaven Church. Welcome to our weekly podcast. We exist to help people find their way back to God. Our church values creating circles of belonging centered on Jesus, where people can be formed and sent to be good news. If you're listening to this, you already belong, and we praise God for you. We hope this message helps you take your next step in your faith journey. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Greg. I'm one of the pastors here. And as Jeremy already mentioned, this is one of the greatest Sundays of the year for us. It's not quite there with Easter, but pretty close, because when we think about baptizing people, it's a moment where we remember the resurrection. Into the waters, a changed person comes out of. And it signifies death of what was and new life. And so today we get to celebrate that. And then I think about infant baptisms. This is always one of my favorite Sundays when we have infant baptisms. It's because we get all these grandmas and grandpas that are here smiling and supporting their children and their grandchildren. We get aunts and uncles and all of you. It's sort of like we get the privilege of throwing the beginning of a family reunion with you guys without grandma's really good food. We got coffee, just not her food. You have to put the order in with her on that. But we're really glad that you guys are here today. And if you're new here today, or maybe haven't attended before and didn't know we were doing the infant baptisms this morning, but you came for another reason, we're glad that you're here as well. And I want to say something about us that I think is absolutely true, and it's this, that if you are looking for a place to belong in a world where you're looking to say, I need a place of belonging, I think you found a great place. And the reason I would say that isn't because of a location or because it's a church. I would say this because of the people that you're surrounded by, some of the greatest people that I know. They're really great people. And this is true about us, that this is a place, and I think you'll find it, especially if you came here today and you're wondering about Jesus, or you're actually wondering about the church, and maybe you're a bit skeptical about the church because of whatever reasons that you've been giving, maybe some really good reasons that the church has not lived in a way that has caused you to say, I respect that, but you're still thinking there's something about Jesus and I wonder about Jesus. This is a place you can belong before you even believe. And the reason is because we take our cues off an ancient rabbi. And an ancient rabbi who had a name that is Jesus. And again, if you're thinking, I don't know what I think about Jesus, we believe, that doesn't mean you have to though, but we believe that Jesus actually came into this world, sent by his Father into this world, that he died on a cross and he rose over the grave, and that he really is the Son of God. And maybe you're exploring that, but even if you explore just the historical Jesus and look at his life, this ancient rabbi that lived in the first century, what you will find in studying his life is that he lived in such a way and loved in such a way and was such that he was compelling to people and attractive to people, and that he cared for people, no qualification on that, all people, all, that he loved people. And we want to take our cue off that, not just when we think about what Jesus said about himself when he said, I am the way and the truth and the life. There are some churches that have really leaned in, and I'm not pointing fingers at any particular church, but churches that lean into the Jesus's life, and they've studied his life and spent an enormous amount of energy around studying the life of Jesus, and they've also leaned into truth and really heavy on truth, and they will proclaim what they believe to be true, but they've forgotten about the Jesus way. And it's caused some, maybe you, to go, I don't know about this thing called the church. Because practicing the Jesus way is about living like Jesus, loving like Jesus loved, being like Jesus was as well. And we want to live, and we want to love, and we want to be an increasing measure with one another like Jesus, which is why I can say with confidence that the people around you are like that, and what can happen here for you is that you can be at a place where you might not yet believe, but you certainly can belong, because you would have had a seat at the table with Jesus as well. You have a seat here as well with us. And I believe this. It gives me great hope for the world that when we live that way, the Jesus way, we make for better communities, that the community is better for it. And not just communities, but neighborhoods within those communities. And our homes get better because something happened in here, inside of us, that then translates into the way we live out there. Something beautiful takes place in us, because I believe this wholeheartedly. You cannot have an encounter with Jesus without being transformed on the inside, a real encounter with Jesus, and then seeing that move to the outside. You can have an encounter with a church. You can show up to a building. You can go through a worship service. You can hear a sermon. You can hear music. You can engage. You can read the scripture. And it could be in the sermon, or it could be in the music, or it could be in some situation reading the scripture that God meets up with you. But when Jesus meets up with you, your life is forever, ever transformed. So here's what I'd love to see us do this morning. Is to lean into that. Because the world changes when we begin to live like Jesus lived and love like Jesus loved and be like Jesus was. But the church doesn't always do that. And Jesus said this about what the church is supposed to be. He said, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others. In the same way, as you live like Jesus lived, in the same way, as you love like Jesus loved, in the same way as Jesus was, you are. Let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds, your good way of living, your good way of loving, your way of being, Jesus's way of being, and glorify your Father in heaven." That is the goal of the church. And some of us have paid really good attention to the church. I'm not talking about any particular church, just the capital C church, and we've seen that and we've not seen that. Maybe you're somebody that has been looking at the church and thought to yourself, "What's that? I'm not okay with that." Because what we saw was that Jesus, when he walked on the earth to study Jesus's life, is to look at his life and think, He welcomed everybody. Everybody felt welcome around Jesus. And why is it that not everybody feels welcome in certain circles of the church? What happened? That Jesus was for everybody. And it doesn't feel like the church is for everybody. In fact, we could often get the picture they're really against certain segments of the population. I read a book by Andy Stanley. Andy Stanley wrote a book that he described the way the church has moved, that anytime a church ends up aligning with a particular segment of the society, like getting into bed with a certain segment of the society, whether it aligns politically or what have you, what happens in a divided world is that if you align with this party or that party, choose your party, doesn't matter, and churches align with one or the other, and you might be in a place you're like, "I don't know how they could align with that party, with the Republicans, or I don't know how they could align with that party, the Democrats." Anytime a church of Jesus Christ, who has been called to be light to the world, not part of the world, aligns itself with a political party, it's actually dumbed down its message. And it has chosen to actually not associate with, because this group will write you off. The kingdom of heaven, the mission of the church is way bigger than that. And the goal of the church in his book called Not In It to Win It is not to save America. It is to rescue, to love Americans for sure. All. It's the mission of the church. Jesus was magnetic toward all, even those the church in that day didn't want him magnetic toward. And here's what we know about magnets. We know that a magnet, when turned one way, it is hard to pull them apart. So attractive. And if you flip that magnet around, it absolutely repels. Can't put them together. How is it that Jesus was so attractive? And in too many cases, the church has repelled. How is it that Jesus was so able to draw? And the church has been seen as a club that's made for its own and really doesn't want to associate with the others. How is it that Jesus is love when it meets up with you? It's so irresistible. And the church has too often become altogether quite resistible. I don't want that. I don't belong there. I don't fit in with them. I don't feel like they actually do want me around. It was decades ago that I learned what I shared with you just a bit ago. I learned that once you meet up with Jesus, like with him, and I'm not talking with a church or with a sermon or with a song or with a church service, but when you meet up with Jesus, like for real, your life will never be the same again. And then I went in and did some theological study around that and recognized that there is something so compelling about who Jesus was. And one story after another, you can look to a story, and there are so many. This is just one, that there was this guy, his name was Saul, and he knew about Jesus, not a fan. He knew about the Church of Jesus Christ, not a fan. And he actually was trying to stomp out the Church of Jesus Christ. Then he met Jesus. All he had is this picture in his head, but he met up with Jesus, and in meeting up with Jesus on his way down a road toward a place called Damascus, he literally had this encounter with Jesus that he would forever be changed. Something happened in here that would translate into out there, and he became the author of more books of the Bible, changed his name, changed his story, changed his direction. His name became Paul, the Apostle Paul, and he became the best church planner of all times to spread the good news about Jesus, because once it got in here, he went, I'm like a town, a city. It's set on the hill, and I'm going to let my light shine. The way I live, the way I love, the way I am, let it reflect the rabbi who has changed my life. And that gives me incredible hope, like real hope, a resurrection hope, because Jesus lives. Jesus was that. Jesus is that. Jesus will continue to be that, which tells us that Jesus is for who? Everyone. That Jesus attracts, and that Jesus also is compelling. He is for all. He attracts people to the way he lived, to the way he is, to his very heart. And it is a compelling, life-altering experience to meet up with Jesus, even if for a moment. And that's good news, because Jesus was, and Jesus is, and Jesus always will be. And what concerns me is this, that the church isn't always for. We've seen it, everyone. That the church, capital C church I'm talking about here, isn't always always attractive. In fact, it's repelling. And it's not always compelling. Oh, you got your truth. And you have the study of the life of Jesus, but it's your way. It's your way of living that I'm like, I don't want any part of that right there. This thing called Christian. Some of us, we know where it came from, that word came from, and if you don't, here's where it came from. It came from a place called Antioch, and in this area of Antioch, there was these Christians that were living in such a way that they were looking at them and saying, who are they? Because they live like, and they look like, and they love like Jesus, and we're watching them, and they didn't have a title for them. They knew they were children of the way of Jesus. Literally, that's what they were called, not the truth of Jesus or not the life of Jesus, the way, his way of living, loving, serving in the world. They were doing it, and they labeled them Christians. Kathy and I, we were listening to a British preacher just recently that was talking about this, and in it, he said something. I went, oh, that's funny. You might not think it's funny. You might think it's really stupid, but he said this, and he said that the word Christian, if you take Christ out of it, there is what left? I-A-N, which is what? Ian. And he went, who's Ian? Like, I have no idea who Ian is. And he said, but here's the problem. The problem is when we start looking more like Ian than we do Christ. We got a problem. We got a problem. And he said it way better than me because I was laughing and you didn't. All right? So it was funny. I'm telling you, it was funny, wasn't it, Kathy? I have no idea. I'll go back and listen to him. I'll practice. All right? So, but that is a problem, isn't it? And no offense, if your name's Ian, sorry. No offense to you. So, but if we're not looking like Christ, what then? Well, you're not compelling. If you're not looking like Christ, well, you're not attractive. And if you're not looking like Christ, maybe it's because you're not for all. For God so loved the world. All. No conditions. So when this church got launched, what was Jesus thinking for the world? I got a plan for the world. What was his plan? I want to capture hearts. And I want people to fall in love with a Father who loves them. I want to see a dance of grace and forgiveness and life that goes abundant and beyond. And what was his dream? His dream was that they, the disciples he was pouring into, would be so moved having been with Jesus, something would happen in here that would then go out there to change the world. That was the dream as it began. I think about the dream of this church. It was May of 1961. We just sat down with a group of us to figure out the month. We knew the date, but we just figured out the month, May of 1961. There was a group of people, some of you, a few of you are still here, and Vern DeYoung, age 90, one of our charter members, one of the group that was gathered around with this dream, he just passed away, and it's Vern given his life to that, and it's others that have given their life to that to get together and to say, we have a dream that God, he's done something in here that we want to see go out there in this area of West Michigan. We want to be a part of it, and we'll call ourselves Fairhaven. Fairhaven, it's written about in the Gospel of Acts, and in the book of Acts, what it actually says about Fairhaven is that it was a place, a port, where you could pull into when your boat got just pummeled out on the open seas. And there were those that pulled into that port for this reason, because we need a harbor that's safe. We need repair. We need restoration. We need to be put back together again. We need to meet up with somebody that can take care of this so that we can go back out and do what we were designed to do. That's what Fairhaven, that's the dream of the church back in May of 1961. And those that went before us laid the foundation for us to be that. We will be the place where anybody, we're for them all, can come in, broken, hurting, come. Let this harbor, let this place of belonging, whether you believe or don't believe, this is the place for you because we want to live and we want to love and we want to be like Jesus. Just that. That. And Jesus had a dream for the greater church. And when he launched the church, I love this, that what Jesus didn't do was form a committee, have a conversation about what do you think our mission ought to be? What do you think the purpose of the church would be? He came and declared, this is the church. This is the way for the world. This is the hope, the resurrection hope. Take the message of me who has transformed you into a world and make it beautiful. And Jesus, according to Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, four gospel writers, gave five different, Luke wrote both the gospel of Luke, and he also wrote the book of Acts. We have five mission statements or commissions that are given to the church. Great mission statements that are given. Matthew said it this way. Here's the church. Jesus said, all authority in heaven, on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go. Make disciples. Make followers. Make those people that know the Jesus way. Of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Mark said it this way. Mark captured Jesus' words and saying, go into all the world and proclaim the good news to all creation. Luke, as he was writing and capturing how many times Jesus gave these statements, more than once for sure, but he captured this, repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in Jesus' name. He's given the vision for the church to all nations, and that all nations, the word in the Greek is pantate ethne, all ethnicities, every people group, because Jesus is for everyone, no condition. Into all nations, to every person, beginning in Jerusalem. You are my witnesses of these things. John's words, and man, I love John's words. He quoted Jesus as saying this, as the Father sent me, as I came into this world, you've been watching me. You've seen what I'm like. You've seen my love on display and who I'm willing to sit at the table with. How far I'm willing to go, how much I'm willing to do, even to the point of death on a cross. As the Father sent me, I have attracted. This message is so compelling. I'm sending you. Your turn. It's your turn. And then we see in the book of Acts where Luke writes, second time captures other words that Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You're not alone in this work. You're not alone in this being like Jesus. You're not alone in this loving like Jesus. You're not alone in this being like Jesus is. The Holy Spirit will come on you so that you can be a city set on the hill, so you can light up your neighborhood, your community, so you can take what's in here and bring it out there for the sake of the world. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Every single one of them capturing the biggest small word in all of these mission statements. Every one of them capturing it. And the word is go. From here to there. Go. Bring it to the world. Go. Make a difference. And the church has been charged with that. Here's the problem. With the early church, they were charged to do that and didn't, at least not at first, and at least not for quite a while, because the church got started somewhere. We could say in reality got birthed out of the heart of a loving God for this grand orphanage called Planet Earth, and he wanted to rescue and adopt you as a son and daughter and everybody that they might know his love. But the church got started in a particular city, and we actually read about it just a second ago. Jesus said it. It's going to start in Jerusalem. In Jerusalem. And it stayed in Jerusalem, and it didn't leave Jerusalem. Why did it stay, not leave, hung out in Jerusalem for longer than it should have? And here's why. The reason it stayed there is because if you live in Jerusalem, which they did, and if you hung out in Jerusalem, which they did, and if you were a part of Jerusalem, which they were, and your people were in Jerusalem that you're associating with and you're familiar with and you really like, and you know their customs and you know their way, and your synagogue happens to be in Jerusalem, where are you going to stay? Jerusalem is where they stayed. So it went from Jesus to them to Jerusalem, and it stayed right there in Jerusalem until something happened. And that guy named Saul that I talked about earlier, who later became Paul and wrote the books of the Bible and became an evangelist that planted more churches than any that launched the movement of the church. That guy, he was busy before he met up with Jesus trying to stomp out the Jesus movement, because he was from the circle that said, here's the truth and you guys are outside of it. Here's what you should be doing and you're not doing it right and we don't like you. And he started persecuting Christians, doing his best to destroy them. Actually, the word destroy is used around him. You can find all of this in the book of Acts chapter 9 around that area. And he was hell-bent on destroying them, literally, destroying them. And the word destroy in the original Greek, actually, it's likened to this: wild animals tearing the flesh out of you. This is what I want to do to this church. Now, Jerusalem wasn't that safe a place anymore. Jerusalem wasn't where you wanted to hang out. It's the hotbed of a handful of people that were calling themselves followers of the way. And they went, we got to get out of here. We need to leave. Where did they go? To all Judea, Gospel of Acts. From Jerusalem to all Judea, to Samaria, to the ends of the earth. They went to all Judea, and then they went to Samaria, and they made their way to the ends of the earth, doing what? Only that which you can do. When you have been so compelled, when you have been so attracted to Jesus, when you have recognized how for Jesus is for you, when you truly meet up with him, you can't contain it. And out of them, it started to live, not just in Jerusalem now, but then in Judea, and then in Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. And the gospel message spread in a beautiful, beautiful way. That's the dream of the church, the beautiful, beautiful dream of the church. And the mission, crystal clear. Jesus, crystal clear on it. And there's this thing, if you're in leadership, you recognize this, and even if you're not, you can recognize that there's often this thing called missional drift. That if you don't stay on mission, if you don't remember your mission, if you aren't reminded this is the mission, what'll happen is we just want to hole up in Jerusalem. These are my people, I'm pretty comfortable here, and we forget. There was a moment where Jesus met up with us and he changed us forever. And there's a whole bunch of people he's not done. All of them, whatever it takes, to any length, go and be for them. Please be for them. That was the mission. And the church gradually finds its way getting off mission. I have a friend, has a way with words and being disturbed by the division that is in our country, and then seeing like her descriptions, like kind of two different churches, like, and the words that I've been put into that would be this. It comes from a guy named John Mark Comer, but it's like this idea that we've forgotten the Jesus way. We've got the Jesus truth and the Jesus life. We just have forgotten the Jesus way. What if we took it all? What if we read the Bible, and if the Bible led us anywhere in our reading of it, not the Bible itself, but in our reading of it, if the Bible reading that we do leads us to a place where we're not living like the Jesus that is written about in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we actually went, I'm reading the Bible wrong. I am absolutely reading this Bible wrong. And I don't know why yet, but I know it doesn't line up with Jesus. What if we were to do that and live in that way? One, in a divided world where she sees the sort of two churches that are being formed, and one, in her opinion anyway, would be losing the Jesus way, losing his way of living. She wrote these words down. I choose God. In a world divided, I choose God. In a world where people choose sides, I choose God. In a world where people put hope in the wrong thing, I put my hope in Christ and his church. The only way to a better society is for people to care more about others than themselves This kind of love will always require heart change. And that brings us back to the gospel. The best way to a better society is for the church to live into its true mission. Anything else will simply fall short. I choose God and his church. Man, I love that. I choose God and his church. And his church. And us. I believe that the world needs God, needs Jesus. And the world needs a church who understands that Jesus is for, and Jesus is attractive, and Jesus is compelling, and Jesus was, and Jesus still is. And we choose to join him in that, to be like him, and to love like him, and to walk like him in this world. It's what our charter members did. It's the dream of this place back in 1961. I'm so grateful to God for those that went before us that are in the room and for any of you that are still charter members. So grateful for all the Vern DeYoungs that did this work. Because what they did is they launched something that aligned with the very mission of Jesus Christ. Some of the history of our church, there's a man named Dick Termont. He's no longer on planet Earth. He went home to be with Jesus. But Dick, I had conversation with him, a pastor, downtown Grand Rapids, and he said, there is no other way without Fairhaven. There was no Westtown Jubilee. When people needed housing and it was becoming difficult for some of the lower income in the Grand Rapids area, Fairhaven stepped in. When people needed food, Fairhaven stepped in, and he said, we're on the map because Fairhaven had a heart for the city, for all. I think about so many other things that have come out of this church, and one of those being like thousands and thousands of kids. Maybe you've never heard this before. Maybe you have. Thousands and thousands of teenagers and young kids have been introduced to Jesus Christ because of a camp up in Rodney, Michigan called Cranhill Ranch. Where did that come from? Came from a dream from this church, because this church loves children, still does. This church pours into children. And something happened on the inside of some of those charter members, and then one of our pastors, Leonard Weeses, that they had a vision and a dream, said, let's plant a camp that will reach children and teenagers with the good news of Jesus, that they might encounter him. Having encountered him, never be the same again. Out of this church was birth, because we looked at the community and said, there's children in Jenison, Hudsonville area that are going without food, and we're going to do something about it 15 years ago, launching Hand to Hand, because we have been moved by a God who cared for us. Hungry children hurt. We're going to do something about it. And the result of that is enormous, enormous. Hundreds of churches now. Thousands of children that are getting fed every single weekend. When I think about the call of the church, there was a dream that Jesus had. He said, go, take what's in here. Live like me. Love like me. Be like your rabbi in this world. That was the dream. And in so doing, you will so live, you will so love, you will so serve. There'll be people that have yet to meet Jesus, yet to meet him, that will give glory to God, and they will then join the very mission. So when I think about those that went before us, so grateful for all of you that have gone before. And I think about this, with excitement, I have reason to believe our best days are ahead, because Jesus remains Jesus. The Holy Spirit remains the one that empowers. And I know you. I know you. And it's our turn. It's our turn to be that church for his glory and for the sake of the world. Anybody with me on that? All right. Let's be that. Let's be that. Father, thank you for your church. She is so beautiful. And we have the opportunity to let the world see the beauty that comes When we simply align our way with yours, that is all we want. That's all we want, just that. That we would love you and we would love others. The greatest charge that's ever been given to the church, and you gave it. In your name we pray, amen.
Thanks for listening. Our hope is that you were encouraged and that God revealed a piece of his character to you through this message. For service times or for more information about how to be a part of Fairhaven, you can visit us at fhchurch.org. Have a great week.